if you would grab your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. I thought about preaching on new things or something new or all that stuff with New Year's, you know, just happening and all those things, and I got no peace on it. So instead, I'm going to brag about God. So I thought maybe, if I'm right, I don't know that I'm right. Most of the time, I don't know that I'm right. But I don't know that I'm right, but I do know this. I know that He could come. I think He's going to come this year, but I don't know that it would be this year. But I know He could come this year. And He could be coming back tonight if He wanted to come back. He'd come back in about 2 seconds. If He wanted to sound a trumpet, it'd all be over with. And if you're saved in here, you'd be in heaven for all of eternity. And if you're saved in here, I think you'd be all right with that. And if you're saved in here and you're not all right with that, you got other issues, all right? But and if you're lost in here, you might want to trust Christ as your Savior before that happens, because it only gets worse from there. And so you probably ought to do that. But I got just thinking about the Lord, and we got through 2025. We finished it up, and I guess maybe I could attach it that way to the idea of a new year. But trials and troubles and problems and all sorts of things, and the world's crazy, and the world's only getting crazier. Don't expect it to get better, all right? We're not bringing in a kingdom. The Lord will take care of that all in one fell swoop in Revelation chapter 19. You and I don't have to worry about that. What we worry about is ourselves and our personal walk with Him. And you get thinking about that, and no matter what has happened throughout the year of 2025 or any year in the past, the one constant you have is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 4, we'll jump down to there. John, of course, the Apostle John's writing, and he says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, Revelation 1, 4. Grace be unto you and peace from Him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He's given Jesus Christ, given a unique title right here. He is a faithful witness. He's the faithful witness. Later we find out, Revelation chapter 19, right? He's on a white horse. Behold, I saw heaven opened and a white horse, and He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. He's got a title, He's got a name that's faithful. Jesus Christ is faithful. The one thing you can guarantee in this life is that Jesus Christ is always going to be faithful to you.
Amen.
He is a constant. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. He was and He is and He is to come. That's who He is. He's always present. When He stood up there and He was about to get arrested, He's standing there in front of that mob that's come, the army that's come, the soldiers. Judas betrays Him with the kiss. His answer, whom seek ye? And they say, we seek Jesus of Nazareth. I am. And they all fall down. There's the reason God uses that name, I am. It's because He never changes. He just is. Well, where was He before everything began? He just was. Because He is. He's been around since before time ever began, because He's the one who began it. In the beginning, God. You say, what was happening before that? It was just God. He's God. He always is and He always will be. You say, how could you believe something like that? Because He's God.
Amen.
This is no less foolish than the world's thoughts. Certainly much more intelligent than the idea that you came from nothing.
Yeah.
Say, well, what was there, you know, go ahead, ask a scientist, what was there before a Big Bang happened? Well, nothing. What do you mean nothing? How can nothing come and give us this? It's much more realistic that God was, and He made a Big Bang, and it didn't happen the way they banged it, but He did it. He hits harder anyways. And so, man, he spoke it and the world came into existence. You and I have time. We have everything. We have time. We have space. We have matter. All because God said and it happens.
Amen.
And he's a wonderful, faithful God.
Amen.
And so I'm just going to brag on our faithful God this morning. And you say, why are you doing that? Because I need him.
Amen.
We sang moment by moment.
Right.
You know, there was a song that preceded that. It was, I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. And the author, I don't remember who the author is off the top of my head. I didn't look. I wasn't even going to use this, but here it was. We sang it this morning. And you know, the author of Moment by Moment said, it is not enough. I don't need you every hour. I need you every moment.
Right.
Without me, you can do nothing. And so I want to encourage you this morning that he is always going to be faithful. Regardless of us, he is going to be faithful.
Right.
And so we can trust him. We can bank on him. He is faithful. He is true. He is a constant in our lives. And if you have not figured that out yet, we'll talk more about it this morning. Maybe you'll figure out he's the only one who is a constant in your life.
Amen.
I will fail you.
Yep.
I will. I'm not perfect. I'm human. I will fail you. But he has never. What's amazing is he doesn't even know how to fail you. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning because I'm going to need some help to not just cry through the whole message, all right? So Father, we thank you for the day. I thank you, Lord, that we can call upon you and we can ask you. And Lord, you're always there and you're always faithful. Father, through every one of our trials and tribulations, there's still a wonderful God in heaven who cares about us, loves us, died for us. Wants to be with us, walk with us. Father, what a great Savior, what a great God. Lord, you're faithful. Father, even when we fail you. And so, Father, I do pray you'd be with us today as we look at a wonderful God and see how amazing it is that you'll be faithful and the times that you're faithful to us. And Lord, I pray you'd help me to just to say it the way it should so it brings you all the glory that it possibly can today. And Lord, for those that are here, I pray that everyone here is saved, but if not, if someone doesn't know, I pray that they'd call upon the faithful God, the faithful witness, and they'd call upon a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who'd be faithful to save them to the uttermost if they'd come to God by Him. And so, Lord, I do pray you'd help them to see their need and they'd call upon you today. Lord, once again, we pray you'd bless the service and work in our hearts and remind us of how wonderful you are. Lord, as we step into a new year and just a few days in, I pray we'd remember the great faithfulness of a God who wants to do exceeding abundantly above everything we could ask or think this year. Lord, we love you, and I do pray you'd get the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Look back at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Now, the hard part is, for me, is that there's so much that you could talk about when you get to the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of Jesus Christ in particular. How is it that you... How do you get it all into words, for one, and then for two, how do you describe it well enough and full enough to be able to tell somebody how perfect he is and how wonderful he has been? I'm kind of stuck in the idea of how do I get all of that to you, because he is so amazing that we can't even fathom how amazing he is. And so that's difficult, but I'm going to try anyways. You know, the preacher gets up, and if he thinks he's got great swelling words that's going to make it all work, he's already in the wrong spot. All right? And so then you get up, and what do? We just try to do our best to go ahead and get you to see what God wants you to see and get you to, just get him up high enough so that everybody can see it. And so I'm going to try and do that. And you say, well, is it going to fail? It'll probably come up short of what God could do. But I'm going to try and get out of the way so he can do everything he can to get up high enough. And so John chapter 8. In verse number 28, Jesus speaking, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, there we go, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. The first thing you find out about Jesus is he is always faithful to the Father. Now, he may not do everything the way you want it, and to please everything that you want pleased, but he'll always do the thing that pleases the Father.
Amen.
He has no problems with that. By the way, Christian, if that's the way you lived, you got nothing to worry about. Everybody else can get mad at you. Everybody else can hate you. Everybody else can talk bad about you. Everybody else can say what they want to say. Everybody else can look down on you and tell you how terrible you are and how awful you are. But the truth is, God just did those things that please him. Jesus goes ahead. His entire earthly ministry, he comes down in the form of that baby and was made in the likeness of men, was found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When he stepped out of the glories of heaven, it was obedience to the Father. When he was a baby in a manger, it was obedience to the Father. When he grew up as a boy and he's going through and he gets to 12 years old and he's talking to the religious leaders of his day and the doctors and the lawyers and the scribes and all these guys at the temple, he's just doing what pleases the Father. By the time he gets to 30 years old and he steps on the scene and his mother turns at him and says, hey, they don't have any wine. We're done. What are we going to do? And whatever he tells you, you go ahead and do. That's what she tells the servants. And he's going, okay, I guess we're starting. And away he goes. What's he doing? To please the Father.
Amen.
Just the things that please the Father. You know, Jesus did everything that pleased God, his Father.
Right.
You and I walking through this life, you know what we ought to be? We ought to be faithful to pleasing the Father. But Jesus, he never missed.
Amen.
Even when he got to a garden.
Yeah.
And he got on his face. Just a stone's throw ahead of the other three that were with him. Inside the garden where he left the rest behind. All by himself on his face. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done.
Right.
Still waiting, just to please the... He goes to Calvary's cross to please the Father. He's laid in a tomb for 3 days and three nights to please the Father. He rises from the dead 3 days later to please the Father. And by the way, he saved you and I because it pleased the Father. Realize salvation is about pleasing the Father.
Amen.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all repentance. You know what God, he wants to save you. And everything that Jesus did in his earthly ministry was all about pleasing the Father. And now, saving you still pleases the Father. His entire earthly ministry was about seeking and saving that which was lost. And his entire goal was to save you.
Amen.
And here you are. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection is all a culmination to him wanting to save you.
Amen.
Wash you, forgive you, take you to heaven for all of eternity.
Right.
He was faithful when he stepped out of the glories of heaven to serve the Father so that he could make sure he could be faithful to save you. Because he wants to save.
Right.
That's what he wants to do.
Amen.
He is always faithful to the Father. You know, there's not a time in Jesus' life that he ever failed that. Now, here the trouble is we start thinking about Jesus and how perfect he is, and then we look at us, right? I'm not going to do a lot of that because we'll all feel awful by the end of the service. And you'll probably feel awful without me having to make any comparatives because you'll automatically do it. That's how we do things. And we look at the Lord and we go, well, I didn't do that. I don't always do those things that please the Father. If you were honest, you don't do all the things that please the Father. If we did, we wouldn't need a Savior. And so we struggle, but the Lord Jesus Christ never did.
Amen.
He got it right every time. Faithful. That's what makes him the perfect sacrifice. That's what makes him a sinless sacrifice. That's what makes it so that when you go ahead and need a Savior, he's ready to be the Savior because he's the only Savior there is. Because he's the only one who's ever been faithful unto death. Made it perfect. Finished out. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I don't think I'm going to take you to any weird spots today. I guess maybe if you'd never been in a Bible before, they'd be a little weird, but Jesus, he's faithful to the Father. our faithful God right here. You know what he is? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. You know what he is? He's faithful to every format he lays out in the Bible. I'm just using this one as an example. We can go to a whole pile of them, right? When he lays out a format, when he lays out the formula, when he tells you what's going to happen, he is faithful. It's loaded and ready to go every single time.
Amen.
You realize he is faithful when you go ahead and you're getting into temptation. He's faithful already to have made a way for you to get out and not go down that hill. He's faithful at doing that.
Amen.
Now, we're not always faithful at taking it, but he's always faithful at giving it. And later we look back and we go, man, why didn't I do that? Now I'm in trouble. Because he's always faithful to give us that way out. There's always a spot where he says, okay, eject now, get out. Don't do it, exit, pull off. You don't have to do this. And we make a choice. But it's not because he wasn't faithful to give us a choice. He is faithful to give us the choice. He is faithful to go ahead and say, I'll make a way to escape. You know what he is? He's faithful in sowing and reaping.
Amen.
I mean, we get to Galatians chapter 6. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not.
Right.
He's faithful to reward.
Amen.
If you're doing the right thing, he's faithful to go ahead and give you all the blessings he can give you. The contrast, if you're faithful to doing the wrong thing, he is faithful to go ahead and let you reap corruption and bring judgment into your life. He'll do both, but he's a constant to the formula. He's not somebody who's going to go ahead and tell you the rules are one way and then switch them up on you later.
Right.
That's not how he works.
Amen.
He can't be a very faithful and true God if he is always twisting and changing things so that you don't know what's happening. It's not a very righteous God to tell you the rules are one way and then switch it up on you later. To walk up to you and just say, well, you know, this is what I expect of you. And then 5 minutes later, walk back and say, you totally failed me right there. So I did everything you told me to say. I didn't tell you this part, but that's not fair. I knew somebody down at PBI when we were there, and a guy was a classmate of mine. He was dating a girl, and she lived with her aunt and uncle, and that was them. That was them. Well, when you go out, this is the time you got to be home. This is, you know, they laid out the rules, and so he's doing the rules, and then he comes back, and everything's good. And then the next time they're about to go out, and he had a plan for what they were going to do, right? Gentlemen, right? That's what we do. He had a plan, and they said, well, actually, and they changed the rules. Every time, almost, he showed up to the house, it was a different thing. So how do you know that? Because I was the chaperone for a bunch of it. And I would be like, whoa, wait. And I had to have a conversation with the uncle, and I just said, hey, listen, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. You could do whatever you want to in your home. But you're confusing this guy. He loves your niece. He wants what's best for her. He's trying to abide by your rules, but man, you are purposely making this hard, I think. And it shouldn't be that way. That's not fair to him. It's not fair to her to try and figure this out. And how would you feel if every time you turned around, somebody changed the rules on you? Could you imagine? I'll bless this and I'll curse that. You know, the Lord wrote that all the way back in Genesis. Abram at the time. It's been, I don't know, 4,000 years. You know what his answer is? You mess with Israel, I'll curse you, and you bless them, and I'll bless you.
Right.
He hadn't changed that in 4,000 years. He's pretty consistent.
Mm-hmm.
You know why I think America's still here? Because of that promise right there. I can't guarantee we'd be around very much longer if we ever messed that one up. If we ever fail to keep Israel in the forefront, I think America is going to be a sunk ship real fast. Because if you look around the rest, we're in trouble in a whole lot of other areas before we get to that one. And we may be clinging to life just because we haven't turned our back on the nation of Israel. Why? Because God's so consistent. He's faithful. He gives you the rules, and you already said these are the rules. This is what's right, and this is what's wrong. This is what you can trust. You go ahead and you get tempted. Don't worry. I'll give you a way to escape. You better find it. Hey, you. He's a constant. The rules aren't moving around with him. That's why I get concerned. People go, well, you know, are you gonna change this? Are you gonna do that? Are you gonna leave? Are you gonna go somewhere? I don't think the Lord is so schizophrenic in his thought process that everybody's supposed to shuffle around 8,000 times in their life and change everything over and over again. I think there's some movement. The Lord is flexible. The Lord does things. But most people, he's not moving you 85,000 times to go ahead and get you where he wanted you. It's just not how he works. He's too consistent for that. Now, it doesn't mean we can't miss it. And we can't mess it up or anything like that. That's not what I mean. But I mean, boy, you know, he's not as crazy with his thought process as I think we would like him to be. Because that would make it so that we seem normal if we're crazy. And I say if we're crazy because, well, we all are. And he's just so consistent to what he promises to do. If he wants you to have a way out, he's got it. If he wants to bless you, he can bless you. He'll tell you how he'll bless you. If he wants to go ahead and that's what he does. He's so consistent. It is not a question of normally, oh, well, it's a gray area. No, it's not. Not for you. Now, it may not be the same standard for me as it is for you, but that's because we're individuals. There is an individual standard that shows up. But most things aren't even down to an individual basis. Most things are black and white before you ever get down to that. And then you get to that spot, and the Lord makes it black and white to you what he wants you to do. Amen. His format's constant. Right. He doesn't have to worry about that. He's clear with what he wants. He's faithful. He is faithful to the format. Look over at 1 John chapter 1. I might actually finish this whole message. I might not, but I might. 1 John chapter 1. Brother Joe says I should just preach until, you know, 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So I could fit it in then. 1 John chapter 1. You know the spot. Probably one of the most quoted verses after you get saved. Verse number 9, right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Whew. I'll tell you what. 1 John 1, 9 might be one of the most well-used verses in all the Bible after you get saved. You say, why? Because we mess it up so badly. He gave us the way out. We didn't take the way out. Thank God that there is a God who is forgiving. Amen. He forgives us and forgives us and forgives us. And I know he told the disciples 70 times 7, but you and I both know he goes above and beyond that for us. Whew. What a wonderfully merciful God he is. Amen. He is faithful that when you show up to him, he doesn't look at you and say, oh, you're back again? Yeah. Didn't I forgive that earlier today? Didn't I take care of that? Didn't I? Okay, well, I'm out of forgiveness for you today. Isn't it amazing that God looks at us and he says, hey, I'm ready to forgive if you're ready to go ahead and repent, come to me. Well, yeah, but I've done too much. That's never been the case in my life. Amen. I've done some pretty dumb things in my life. I failed pretty hard in my life. Say, what can God do? exceeding abundantly.
Amen.
Above anything you ask or think. Well, I think I've done too much. God could never forgive. You know how many sinners have said that? And found out that He could forgive more than they could ever think?
Amen.
He wants to forgive us.
Right.
It doesn't give us the license to do whatever it is we want to do, but it's great to know that when I do mess it up, I get to come see the only one who can really forgive me.
Amen.
And if I come, He's willing to forgive.
Right.
And He's going to forgive.
Amen.
And He's going to go ahead and accept me back, even though... You ever have somebody in your life that you failed, and you know you're the failure? You know that you're the one who messed it up, and the relationship is damaged because you messed it up. And what you're really thinking is, will they ever actually forgive me? I want to be friends still. I want to fix this. I don't know how to fix this. I can't fix this. I apologized, and they still threw it back in my face, and I apologized, and they don't want anything to do with me. Ever been there? I mean... You know, you'll never have that with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Say, but I'm so awful. Yeah, He already knows.
Amen.
He knew that before you ever came to Him the first time.
Right.
And you know what He said? I'll still love you anyways.
Amen.
I'll still love you anyways. I'll still forgive you anyways. I'll still take you back anyways. I still
Amen.
Can forgive you no matter how many times you failed me. What a marvelous God. He doesn't need to forgive me again. He doesn't need to. He could say, I'm done with you. But He doesn't. And for some reason, He never will. Say, I don't understand that. Me neither. I'd be done with me. It's been 41 years. It's been over 30 years of salvation. Lord looks at me and He still says, I'll take you again.
Amen.
How many times did you fail Him? Countless. At this point, it's so innumerable, I couldn't tell you. Not even close. I feel like that last verse, one of the last verses there in John where He talks about if you wrote down every one that Jesus had done, all the miracles, all the greatness that He'd done, if you wrote them all down, that the world itself could not contain the volume of books that should be written, I feel like that's what it would be if somebody wrote down all my sins. The world itself could not contain, and the Lord looks down and says, I'll forgive you again.
Amen. Come on.
I'll wash it again.
Good.
I'll let you try again. Say, how faithful is He? He's as faithful to forgive you as you could ever possibly be to your sin. He loves you that much. You think about all the things that God has done and all the times that you've failed Him, all the goodness He's been to you and all the times that He's been amazing. And you knew He was amazing. And then you wasted it. I mean, you think of Solomon. I was talking to somebody, I don't remember. Maybe it was Brother John Metelski back there, I don't know. Second generation Christians. Solomon. So was he given? He was given wisdom that he didn't have. Well, I grew up in church, I was given wisdom I didn't have. Wisdom and judgment, that's what I was handed that. Peace. Got saved at 7. I don't know what it's like to not have peace with God. Not like that. Not worried about, I've never really worried about whether I was going to heaven or not. And there are a couple questions there when I was a teenager and just trying to make sure everything was good. Other than, I mean, come on. I was handed peace with God. I was handed a life with Him. I was handed wealth, God's wealth, the wealth of knowledge, the wealth of understanding, the wealth of people who love me and care about me and help me. And what better wealth could we have than what we've got? And then we turn around, God hands us all that wealth, and we go ahead and, just like Solomon, we're hanging up shields of gold out in the woods. What are they even doing out there? Oh, just to show off I've got it and you don't? I'm going to build an ivory throne. Gold and everything. I'm so good. I have so much that I don't even use silverware. I only use goldware. That was Solomon. And he just wastes it. The wisdom he had, he used it for great judgments and all the wonderful things that he was doing, but he couldn't even govern his own life. That's the trouble he had, wasn't it? Couldn't govern his own life by the law. Kings weren't supposed to multiply unto themselves wives because they'd pull them to idolatry. Isn't that where Solomon ends? Pulled away by his innumerable wives practically. Wastes it. The wisdom, the wealth, the understanding, the judgment he's supposed to have, the peace. So, well, he ended in peace. Yeah, but he handed it off to his son who loses it all because Solomon's judgment goes to his son. And Rehoboam splits a kingdom. And they lose peace even among themselves because they won't stay in unity. They won't go ahead. Somebody won't humble themselves to keep things in unity. That's troublesome. God's faithful to forgive you, though. You think about all those things we've done to him and all the things that we failed him at. You know what he says? You can still come to me and I'll still forgive it all. Amen. I'll wipe the slate clean again. We'll start over. And you've had some people in your past you wish you could wipe the slate clean with. You wish all the things that you had done and all the dumb things that you said and all the time and all that stuff. You've got some that maybe you wish you were close to again. You miss their friendship. You say, I don't know how to fix it. I can't fix it. Family, friends, those kind of things. We've all got some of that in our past where we've said or done the wrong thing. Or they've said or done the wrong thing. And we won't let them back. And God says, wait a minute, I'm faithful to forgive. He comes to us. He just takes it, puts it behind his back, says, I'll forget that forever. Never bring it up again. An amazing God. Faithful. Faithful to the Father, faithful to the format, faithful to forgive us. Look over at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. So many verses. I'm trying not to. We could run everywhere. I've already been talking about it for over 30 minutes. We haven't even come close to plumbing the depths of his faithfulness. Amen. And if everybody in here started standing up talking about God's faithfulness, you know where we'd be? We'd be here forever. Amen. That may be the first millennia of eternity for us. Just talk about how great God's faithfulness was in our own personal lives. Just talking about, I don't know. What are we going to do for all of eternity? We've got a lot to talk about. A lot to remember. Just in our own lives. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, he says, Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. He's faithful through fires. He's talking about it here. You know what? He said, be content with what you've got. No matter what happens, you ought to be content and thankful and everything. And you say, well, I don't have everything I want. Okay, yeah, but you can be thankful for everything you got. You say, well, it's not working out the way I want it to. Yeah, but you can be thankful God's still in control and he'll make sure you get through it either way. Amen. You know, often we try to scoff at a lot of things. When trouble comes, we're really good at being content when we have everything. And even then, sometimes we're not good at it. I was talking with a pastor friend up at the wedding on Friday night, and we were talking, and I won't say just because of where he's going, I won't say where they're going to take a missions trip to. They're taking a missions trip And he said, you know what? He goes, we go over and we literally see dozens of people get saved in just a couple of weeks. A personal witness. And he said, you know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid the country is going to get westernized. Because although we have a great society, we are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And we don't even know, we don't realize that we're naked and blind and miserable and we're poor and we're failing. We're just coasting along because we think we have everything, and because we have everything, God must be blessing us. You know, the church grows the most when there's fire, when there's trouble, when there's problems. He and I were talking, and I said, yeah, I'd love a trumpet to sound, though, before it got real bad for us. It was that just a little selfish. I'd rather not suffer if I don't have to. How about you? I'm kind of, you know, feel like I could be a little wimp on some of that. And I don't really want to find out if I would stand well in a situation where they asked if I would like to go into a fiery furnace or not. Or perhaps a den of lions. Or a beheading. Or to be burned at the stake. Or to be sawn asunder. You read through Fox's Book of Martyrs. Watch families ripped apart, people thrown off cliffs, burned at the stake, pulled apart and quartered, hung, all because they believed in Jesus. I could never happen here, huh? I'm not convinced. To be honest, I'm just not convinced. Say why? Because the world is the world. And here's the Lord. You know what he says? I'm faithful no matter what you go through. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, he's there at the garden. The soldiers come. And everybody flees. Say, well, he was at the crucifixion and Peter was out there by the fire. And yeah, but they weren't with him. They weren't getting crucified. He was. He was the one that got numbered with the transgressors. He's the one who gave his life a ransom. He's the one. All by himself. Everybody else forsook him. Everybody else fled. Everybody else ran. There's Jesus all by himself. You know, there's some things that nobody else is going to go through that you go through. It'll be just your trial. Now, the Lord can use that later for somebody else's trial and use it to comfort them in any trouble. And you can be a comfort and a help to somebody else. And you can go ahead. But what you're dealing with, sometimes, you know what you're going to be? You're going to be all by yourself. Even when other people understand and other people know and you get people, eventually you know where you'll be. You'll be alone and you'll feel all alone. And you know what you'll have to trust? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. Because he'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. All the comforters will have gone. They've moved on and they've moved on with their lives. All the other people, they're not dealing with it. They'll look at you like, oh, what's the big deal? They'll look at you like all these other things. And they'll have all the stuff laid up and all the stuff lined out and tell you exactly what to do, right? And they'll look at you and just be like, you know, all things work together for good. And you'll resist the urge to punch them in the face. And here you are, and you know that answer is true, but in your mind, you're like, yeah, but you don't understand. And the Lord says, yeah, but I always understand. I'm always with you. You know, Jesus, I read a poem a couple years ago probably. It's called There Are Many Crosses. Annie Johnson Flint wrote it. It was a short story. She wrote some of our hymns. And she wrote about a cross and how there are many crosses. And it ends with the cross of suffering. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. I didn't even bring it out to read it. Some of you asked for it and you have it. But it got to the cross of suffering. And the statement Jesus makes is that the last worst fate you won't face. Because at the last, he was forsaken of his Father. Calvary, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He said, that last worst fate you won't face because I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And we go through all sorts of troubles in this life. All sorts of problems, and some of them you can't talk about and you can't tell anybody, and you know that it's between you and God, and He's there and He's there and He's there. And nobody else is. And God says, yeah, but I'm faithful. I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake you. And the man of the fourth man in that fire will still be him. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah may have walked into a fiery furnace all by themselves, but they were never truly alone. A wonderful God they were serving walked in with them. And if He wants to, even the smoke won't show up on your garments, let alone the ropes stay on your wrists. You'll go ahead and be able to walk through a fiery furnace knowing that He is able to never leave thee nor forsake thee. Look over at John chapter 14. I'm almost done. I think finally is the key word, right? Finally. John chapter 14. Whew. All right. Okay, we can do this. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know what he is? He's faithful to finish it. He was faithful to finish everything the Father had asked him to do in this life, and he is faithful to save you for all of eternity because of it. He is faithful to every format he's ever laid out. He is faithful to forgive you of your sins. He is faithful through every fiery trial you may face. But he is certainly going to be faithful to finish the course that you and I have been promised to get to. And that is a heaven for all of eternity. That is a sinless, pure, clean place. The new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. It's the place that is pure and clean and just and right and holy that you and I could never truly imagine, where the streets are paved with gold, clear as crystal, and the walls of that city are emerald, and that you go ahead and walk through gates of pearl, and you go ahead and see the mansions and the glory and the prestige, the river of life flowing through it, the throne set above and there with Jesus Christ upon it, God of the universe ruling and reigning. That's who it is. You know what He's faithful to do? He's faithful to come again. His promise is, I'm coming one day, and I'm going to come, and I'm going to get my bride, and I'm going to bring her home, and we're all going to be there for all of eternity. What a wonderful God. Say, things don't look good out there. Perfect. Perfect. There's two comparative God gives: the days of Lot and the days of Noah. Neither one of those look good. Neither one. So if it's looking more like that, that means it's time to go. He's faithful. He's going to come. John, the book of the Revelation, Jesus makes that statement, surely I come quickly. John says, even so, come Lord Jesus. Say, what are you waiting for? I'm waiting for the day He fulfills that final one. Amen. Yeah. He's faithful in this life to go ahead and take care of all those things and to never leave me nor forsake me. And he is faithful certainly to step down out of the glories of heaven one day and sound a trumpet and go ahead and give us a great shout. And we'll hear the voice of the archangel, the trumpet. We'll hear it all and we'll hear, come up hither. And it's coming.
Amen.
It's coming. It may be today. It may be tomorrow. It may not be for another 1,000 years. But I highly doubt it. I think if we get past spring, I'm going to be depressed, just for the record. You say, why? Because I think he's coming in the springtime. Say, why do you think that? Read your Bible. I think he's coming in the springtime. And I think we're going to all get out of here. And I think it's going to be this one. But I do know this, it could be today. He hasn't lied to me yet. Hasn't failed me yet. And he's not going to start today.
Amen.
You have a wonderful God. He's so faithful to us. As we've stepped into 2026, you know what you can count on? That in 2026, he's going to be just as faithful as he's always been.
Amen.
He's not leaving. He's not going anywhere. Doesn't make any difference to him who's in office anywhere. Doesn't make any difference to him who's ruling and reigning and doing the things in this life. None of that matters. Because he's got it. He's the one. And you don't need to worry about anybody else. You just need to make sure you and him are on the same page and you'll be fine.
Amen.
Because he's faithful. His promises are sure. His salvation is great. And he will finish everything that he started. And you know what he started? He started to save you. The day you called upon him, you got the earnest of the inheritance, and he's going to go ahead and pay it in full. And it may be today. Say, yeah, but I thought you said the spring. I don't know. I like being wrong. If I get him sooner. You know what's amazing? I'm gonna be done. Brother Andrew's gonna come. You know what's amazing? God can do what he wants to. He can do what he wants to. Nobody even knew the church was going to exist for 2,000 years. He kept that hidden. He told us we don't know the hour. All I do know is he's coming. Paul promised he was coming. John promised he's coming. Everybody's promised he's coming. We're just waiting. And the more I get to hear the words from scoffers that say, where's the promise of his coming? The more I think, good, you keep talking. Because he's about to prove he's coming. Because he has never once failed on his promises. Maybe this morning you need to come because you hadn't been faithful on yours. But maybe you need to come because you want to go ahead and say, God, I know you're faithful, and I'm sorry I ever doubted it. Or maybe you just need to come and say, God, thank you for being faithful. I'm glad you're going to be faithful this year. I pray you would help me to be faithful till you come. I don't know. But boy, he's a wonderful, faithful God. And you start thinking about all the things he has done, all the times he showed up, all the times he's gone ahead and taken care of, all the times he has been the God that we know that he is. You can remember he's the faithful God. And you can trust him one more time to go ahead and do everything he says he would. Let's go ahead and stand. If you're in here this morning, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I hope you'd come and you'd let us show you out of a Bible how he is the faithful Savior. And he'll wash you of your sins. He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He'll save you to the uttermost if you'd come to God by him. He wants to save you. Would you be willing to come and get saved today? His arm's not shortened that he cannot save. And his promise is, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He's faithful to save you if you'd come to him. Christian, he's faithful to you every day of your life. He's faithful today, even if you doubt him. Thank God he's faithful to forgive. Thank God he's faithful in the fires. Thank God he's faithful in all the formats he has laid out. Thank God that he is was faithful to the Father. But most importantly, I'm glad he's going to finish one day. Praise God, he's going to finish and he's going to sound a trumpet. We're going to get to go see him. Maybe today. Lord, I do pray you would bless the invitation. Father, help those who've come. Pray if somebody else needs to come that they would. I pray if someone here doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, today would be the day of salvation. Bless us even now. We love you. Come back soon, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.